ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Isn't that interesting? It's not what you're putting in your mouth that's going to defile you. It's what comes out of your mouth. It's not the food you eat. It's what you say. And it's a battle. Why? Because the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary to one another because we're in a battle and we don't always do what we want to do. The winner of that battle against the flesh and the spirit depends on who you surrender your life to. Is it going to be all about me? Am I going to be selfish? Is it going to be the flesh that comes out? Or is it going to be the Lord? And it's a battle. And we have to be careful. Walk in the spirit, Paul said, and you're not going to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. In Romans 6, verses 12 through 14, he said, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. In other words, walk in the Spirit, surrender your life to God. You're not under the law, you're under grace. God has freely given you life. Just walk accordingly. It's interesting, long time ago, during the time of John Wesley, a woman approached him and said that she knew what her talent was. She told John Wesley, I think my talent from God is to speak my mind. Well, Wesley responded back by saying, I don't think God would mind if you buried that talent. Wow. Good words to say, right? You know, we cannot control our tongue, but the Lord can. So who are you going to surrender to? We can try and do it on our own, but I'll tell you what, all you have to do is have someone push the right button and things will come out that you thought, oh my gosh, where did that come from? And I guarantee you, as the year 2021 comes up, you're going to have your buttons pushed more than ever before. Who are you going to surrender to? Are we going to let the flesh manifest itself and try and win this battle with sarcasm and putting people down? Or are we going to let the Lord give us the words to say to see that person come into the kingdom of God? That's really what it's about. Are we interested in the lost more than we are ourselves? Because I'll let you in on a little secret. As Christians, we're going to heaven. It's a done deal. But for them who don't know Christ, they're not. So it's not about me anymore. It's about them. So may the words that come out of my mouth be used to bring people into the kingdom of God, and not to win a battle, but to win that soul for Jesus Christ. You see the difference? It's a perspective we need to have as we approach this new year. And what a great perspective to have. And I guarantee you, buttons will be pushed this coming year, probably more so than ever, as we see wickedness continue to grow. Be careful. It's all about bringing people into the kingdom of God and shining brightly for Jesus, standing up for righteousness in love. If you study the life of Jesus, the only ones he really rebuked were the religious leaders. The common people, he didn't. He had compassion towards them. We don't rebuke the religious leaders who are teaching false doctrine. We do the people. We come against them. We got it wrong. We need to have compassion on them and rebuke those that are teaching false doctrine. And James is going to continue on. He's going to lay it all on the line here by showing us the hypocrisy of having a tongue that's out of control. It doesn't make sense. Look at verse 9 in James 3. With it we bless our God and Father. Okay, I'm done now. Right? I mean, how do you argue anything more? We're blessing God with our tongue. How can I do curse people? And that's what he's going to say. And with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not to be so. Think about it again. We're saved, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We're redeemed. Unfortunately, one of the last things for a Christian's body to be redeemed is his tongue. Right? That's a hard one. And James hits it hard. He says, you know, how do you bless God with your speech? I mean, it's the highest calling, but how do you do that? And then you also curse your fellow man who was created in the image of God. It makes no sense. It shouldn't be. You know, in 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 through 15, as David was collecting some of the provisions for the temple, listen to his blessing of God. He said, therefore, David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. And David said, blessed are you, Lord, God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. Oh, look at all the praising. And could you imagine then if all of a sudden David starts, you know, cursing man? That would be bad. And you think, well, look at David's life, okay? King Saul, the king of Israel, right? Tries to throw a spear at David twice. God, Samuel has anointed David to be king, and yet it's not time yet. And David is still trying to serve King Saul. And you really never see him come against Saul. Yeah, when he told Saul, you know, look, I have done nothing wrong. Why are you coming after me? He was just making Saul aware of how ridiculous it was. David loved him. He didn't hate Saul. He didn't want Saul dead. But he didn't bring an accusation against him because he was the king. He honored him. We got to be careful that we're not inconsistent with who we are, of who's in control of our life. Have we surrendered not just our lives, but our tongue unto God? Lord, it's yours. Please help me not to say things that are going to hurt people, but that will bless them, help them. And sometimes, yeah, we have to correct them like David did with King Saul. But he did it in a loving way. As James continues on here, he's going to give a couple illustrations to show that our speech should not be used as an instrument for the devil. It shouldn't be inconsistent because, you know, it doesn't make sense. We're serving God. We don't live any way we want. Look at verse 11 here in James 3. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring can yield both salt water and fresh. I mean, it just makes sense. This is obvious, logical, and true. A spring is not going to send forth both fresh and bitter water through the same opening. It's just not how it happens. A fig tree doesn't produce olives. A grapevine does not produce figs. And yet when it comes to our speech, we bless God, we curse man. And James's point is, doesn't make sense. It's hypocrisy. In fact, Warren Wiersbe put it like this. He said, the tongue that blesses the Father and then turns around and curses men made in God's image, is in desperate need of spiritual medicine. How easy it is to sing the hymns during the worship service, then after the service get into the family car and argue and fight all the way home. My brethren, these things ought not to be. The problem, of course, is not the tongue, it's the heart. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. As we fill our hearts with God's word and yield to the Holy Spirit, he can use us to bring delight to others, and we will be refreshing fountains and trees. Absolutely. When Jesus spoke to the religious leaders again in Matthew 12, verses 34 through 37, he said, "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Again, the whole point is what's coming out of our lips, what our tongue is saying, comes from our heart. And we need to surrender it to God. Bitter words come from a bitter heart. And so like David said, "Lord, put a guard on my lips. Don't let me say things to hurt anyone. Let my speech be seasoned with salt, filled with grace." I like that. "Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Imagine if the Lord was standing right by us when we said words that were putting people down, gossip, mocking. Would we really say those words if he was there? And I'll let you in on a little secret: he is. Because he's always with us. And I think sometimes that's what we need to remember. Hey, I don't want to say anything. You're with me, Lord. Help me to say the right thing like I said before. Now, as we finish up chapter 3 here, James, we're not in Peter yet, is going to speak about another subject. He's going to move away from speech. And I know you guys are like, well, praise the Lord for that, right? But he's going to deal with how a mature Christian walks in wisdom. And again, it's important. Not only our speech is important, but also our walk is all important too, our actions. Look at verse 13. "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom." Now, remember James spoke of wisdom in chapter 1, verse 5. "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." So there, if you're lacking wisdom, ask God. And I think that wisdom in chapter 1, he's talking about wisdom for the various trials that they were going through, how we can handle them, how do we count it all joy. But here he's talking about wisdom to live out our faith in Christ. And, you know, wisdom is not the right information. Yes, having the right information is absolutely important. That's knowledge. The truths of God found in the Word of God. But wisdom then is applying those truths of God to our lives, walking in the love of Christ. Solomon said in Proverbs 9:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." I think we need to understand who God is. You know, he's not our good buddy. He's Almighty God. You know, I think it was Christianity Today several years ago had as their front page, "Hipster Jesus." And he had sunglasses on, and I'm thinking, do you realize that he is Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, and you are mocking him by representing him that way? There are descriptions of God, and that is not how he looks, not at all. In fact, even in the incarnation, when Almighty God walked this earth, he looked just like the common people. In fact, there was nothing special about him except the things that he did. He had no, it wasn't like he stuck out. I mean, he wasn't like, I'm dating myself, sorry, Charlton Heston or Rock Hudson. Some of you guys don't even know who that is. Well, maybe Charlton Heston because he played Moses in the Ten Commandments, but someone who looked amazing. He was just your average Joe. No one was drawn to him because he was so handsome. But boy, the things he did changed people's lives. And we need to understand that. Humble ourselves before the Lord. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving ourselves, as James said. It's really a choice on our part. You know, if we're not going to humble ourselves, God will take care of that. Just ask King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel warned him. You need to change, King. You need to understand who God is. If you don't, you're going to be cut down. And that's exactly what happened. And it wasn't until he realized that Almighty God reigns. And he says, you know, he's able to bring down kings and leaders and people who exalt themselves. He came to saving faith, but it took a lot to humble him. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, James is going to say in James 4:10, and he will lift you up. Remember who he is, remember who you are. He is God, we're not. It's pretty simple. It's not real complicated. I don't tell God what to do. He guides me in what I need to do. That's the way it should be. Look at verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. James is saying that this world contains two different kinds of wisdom. Where do they descend from? Well, two different streams. One's from God, one's from Satan. And these verses, he's speaking of human wisdom, earthly wisdom, demonic wisdom. It's bitter, sharp, kind of a jealousy, cutting, destructive, no value to it. Self-seeking, it's all about me. Moffat put it like this. He said, religious people may be extremely provoking and defeat their own ends by overbearing methods. Right views and sound counsels may lose their effect if they are expressed by men who are self-seeking partisans or unscrupulous controversials. Absolutely. William MacDonald said, the worldly wise man is characterized by bitter envy and selfish ambition in his heart. His one passion in life is to advance his own interest. He is jealous of any competitors and ruthless in dealing with them. He is proud of his wisdom that has brought success. But James says that this isn't wisdom at all. Such boasting is empty. It is a practical denial of the truth that the man who is truly wise is truly humble. So James spoke of godly wisdom back in verse 13. With good conduct, it's seen in meekness, humility. This is the exact opposite, and it's ugly. And he says, you know, don't be deceived. Human wisdom isn't good. Humility is so, so important. Look at what James is saying here. This false wisdom or this earthly wisdom is from, and obviously, again, it's not from God. First of all, it is earthly or of this world. Secondly, it is sensual or of the flesh. And lastly, it's demonic or from the devil. And there's what's born out of this is confusion, strife, all kinds of evil. And there's no peace, just confusion. And the Bible has so many examples of the folly of man's wisdom. You know, think about the Tower of Babel. Seemed like a good idea, right? But it ended in failure and confusion. Why? Because God already told him not to do that. God already said, no, I want you to spread out. They didn't listen. And in the end, God spread them out. Abraham thought it was wise to go to Egypt when the famine came to Canaan. But it wasn't. He picked up Hagar down there, concubine. And that was trouble for him. King Saul thought it was a good idea to put his own armor on David when he went into battle with Goliath, but that didn't work for David, and he knew it, and he didn't go into battle with Saul's armor. Over and over again, we see man's wisdom. I think it's important for us to understand that we need to seek God's direction. This world is so confusing today. But the Bible says God is not the author of confusion. Well, then why am I looking at the world? Why am I not looking to the Lord? You see the difference? I should not be confused. I should be at peace, knowing who's in control And James is going to continue on. He's not going to end on this negative note with this earthly wisdom. He's going to talk about heavenly wisdom. Look at verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So look at the fruit that's born as we live out our heavenly wisdom with all meekness. It says what James said in verse 13 of chapter. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. And out of that is born, you know, it's pure, it's free of contamination. Peaceable, it brings about peace. Gentle, patient, willing to yield, teachable, full of mercy. Good fruits, good things are produced in our lives. Without partiality, not showing favoritism to anyone. And lastly, James speaks of faith, of our faith being without hypocrisy, or not to be two-faced, but authentic. And look at the difference, the wisdom from above from God, or this earthly, sensual, demonic wisdom that's in this world. It just makes sense. Let's seek what God has. Earthly wisdom, make no mistake, is destructive. Godly wisdom is constructive. It builds up. As I begin to wrap things up here this evening, let me give you this to chew on. I want you to think about and apply this. You take verses 15 through 18 of James chapter 3, apply them to all that you say and all that you hear, and as you do, you see what's coming from and what it will produce. Again, for wherever envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Or the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Who are you listening to? Who are you getting your wisdom from? The world has no problem with giving wisdom. I'm amazed at how many people in this world actually listen to Hollywood. Aren't you amazed at that? It's like these people are so intelligent and so brilliant that their lives are just perfect. Have you ever studied their lives? They're a mess. And yet they're trying to tell us how to live. Well, why do I want to live like that? That's miserable. And God says, no, I've got something better for you. Yeah, but what are you saying over there in Hollywood? That's us. It's kind of like Adam and Eve. Every tree of the garden is for you guys, God said. Except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What tree? Where's it at? That's us. God says, I've got this for you. And we're looking at Hollywood. Actors, actresses. Why? Look to the one who can give us the wisdom that we need. In 1 John 3:18, John said this, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. May we be what God wants us to be. May we do what God wants us to do, and may we speak as God wants us to speak. Amen. Wow, some powerful lessons from James. And you know what? This is an awesome study in the book of James, because he just tells us, this is how you got to live, man. And I think we need this in the days we're living in. I think we need this, especially in these days we're living in, when we are bombarded by all kinds of evil things. And the world wants us to go on these rabbit trails. And God says, no, I've got something better for you here. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of rabbit trails out there to go down. And they get us going down them. And where do they lead? We need to be led to the lost. Lord, bring those people across our path that we can share our faith and see them come into the kingdom of God, because that's really what it's all about. I don't want to be distracted. You know, I told you before, racehorses, you know, have those blinders on so they're not distracted. You know, they don't, hey, Mr. Ed, what are you doing over there? No, it's, you know, they got the blinders on. They can't see. They're looking straight ahead. What a wonderful thing for us. Lord, help me to keep my eyes upon you so I can be guided by you. I need your wisdom so I can live out my faith in the days we are living in. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again that your word is living and powerful, and it touches our hearts. It meets us where we're at. Now, Lord, this is just an important lesson for me, to control the tongue, to allow you to control my tongue, Lord, and then to have that walk that is found in the wisdom of God and not in the wisdom of this world, this demonic, sensual wisdom that destroys lives. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, your mercy, how you continually work with us and just help us to grow. And you're so, again, so gracious and merciful to us. You're so patient and long-suffering, and you never give up on us. And I love that about you, Lord, that you don't give up. Lord, help us to live our lives that would, in such a way that would honor you and bless people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.